This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. This is Sharp Money. Halloween. Happy Halloween to you all. Also, happy trade deadline day as we are now 14 seconds post NFL trade deadline. Some moves starting to sprinkle in as some of the big moves from earlier we've announced. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson dressed as it's funny. Jeff Kerr is going to join us. CBS Sports 97.3 ESPN South Jersey does a great job. It was funny watching Dustin professionally talk to our guests dressed as a Teletubby, but that's where we are in 2023. So we say hi to CBS Sports NFL writer Jeff Kerr. And Jeff, I know it's a busy day, so thank you for the time. Let's start with the Commanders. The Commanders move on from the former number two overall pick, Chase Young. He goes to the 49ers. And the other edge, Montez Sweat, goes to the Bears. Let me get your take on those two moves.
You know, guys, I was starting to think I have to write winners and losers for the deadline for CBS, and I got everybody done, but I'm still thinking about, do I want to call the Commanders a winner? Do I want to call them a loser, or is it a push? And I'm starting to think it's a push because you're giving up Chase Young, you're giving up Montez Sweat, but you got a second and third round pick for him. And obviously this is a new regime with Josh Harris. You know, really the loser here is Ron Rivera, because I don't think he's coming back now. And I've been trying to tell people this for a couple days. A lot of people like to think the Eagles beating Washington in week 8 spurred this. No, this has been in the works now for a couple weeks. They have been looking at selling for at least 2 to 3 weeks. I didn't know what they could potentially get for a Chase Young or a Montez Sweat. It's a good thing Chase Young's having a good year, because I think that's to help them get the third round pick. I don't think they would have gotten anything higher than a fourth at the beginning of the season for Chase Young. Sweat's a really good player though. I think it's more of they had to trade him because the Bears are basically offering you the number 35 pick for a guy who's going to be a free agent. Why wouldn't you trade him at this point? I just don't understand what the Bears are doing. But Washington, I'll give a push because they got some draft capital there and they're trying to rebuild their roster. And obviously they'll get a new head coach after the season.
Jeff, let's take a look at it from San Francisco's perspective. Once again, Lynch makes a great move, or at least potentially a great move here in terms of acquiring Chase Young. They got Randy Gregory from Denver a few weeks ago. Where's this team in your estimation right now? They've lost 3 in a row. Are you concerned, or is it a combination of injuries, just a little bit of a midseason slump, and they'll be fine?
I think it's a midseason slump. I'm concerned about the quarterback, not as much as everybody else is, because I think the 49ers' biggest problem is, and again, this is why I don't understand why they traded for Chase Young in this department. Is Chase Young really going to help their run defense? Because that's been an issue. And Javon Hargrave always had issues against the run ever since he left Pittsburgh. You got him. I love the Nick Bosa, Chase Young pairing. You know, relive the Ohio State days again. I think that's awesome. But yes, when you look at that defensive front, you got Kinlaw, you got Bosa, you got Young, you got Armstead, you got Hargrave. But their run defense isn't good. And I think they're banking on Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw to do that. But there's got to be some more penetration at the defensive tackle position. That's why I thought Leonard Williams would be a good fit for them. No, they let their rivals get him because, and against Seattle, they didn't have to pay anything for Leonard Williams. They're essentially paying him the veteran's minimum, and it's prorated because the Giants just won the second round pick. I just don't understand why you wouldn't give up a higher pick, but you'll give up a third for Chase Young, who helped your pass rush. But again, I don't think he helps the run game that much. I like the deal. It's just, that's my biggest concern with the 49ers now. Cause I mean, the Bengals couldn't run the ball at all season. And all of a sudden they run for 130 against San Francisco on Sunday.
Trade deadline has come and gone. Jeff Kerr does a great job. CBS Sports, one thing we learn from each team. Also, I love your column on the overreactions every Monday, 97.3 ESPN South Jersey. How about Joshua Dobbs to Minnesota? Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, since I said the Vikings should tank, that was one of my overreactions. I just figured their season's over, right? Because you lose Kirk Cousins, that was the glue that was kind of keeping everything together. Jordan Addison was having a good year. They were rebound. They have T.J. Hockenson. You know, they go to 4-4. And then all of a sudden, Josh Dobbs is benched by the Cardinals. And I don't know how long this was in the works, probably not long, but I kind of like the move to get Dobbs just because you're not really giving up much to get him. And he's better than Jerron Reed. He's better than Nick Mullins. I know Nick Mullins is hurt, but you know, you're 4-4, you have a shot. I guess you take it with what you have, because you might know, they probably have more information than me on when Justin Jefferson's coming back. So I think they have a shot to go to the playoffs, but I don't know, guys. Is it worth it? Like, is Josh Dobbs really going to get you to the playoffs? Maybe that's why they did. They just say, hey, look, we'll give it you know, the old college try. If it works, we go to the playoffs, great. If not, okay, you know, we'll shed Kirk Cousins' salary after the offseason. We'll have a high draft pick. So, I think that was a win-win. Honestly, the winner in that is Josh Dobbs, just because he gets another chance to start, and not like he was great in Arizona, but he's going to have a lot more talent around him in Minnesota. So this might be Josh Dobbs' chance to prove, hey, you know what, I can start in this league, and I could be a pretty decent starter, and he'll have the second half of the year in Minnesota to prove that.
Jeff, we completely concur. Patrick and I were talking about the exact same thing. We thought Minnesota should be tanking to potentially get somebody. Does this mean now in Arizona we should expect to see Kyler Murray later in this season? And also another quarterback question, is Taylor Heinicke finally going to be the guy what we've all been calling for a while now in Atlanta as well?
I think Desmond Murray's been the worst starting quarterback in football this year, and that's saying something considering, you know, when you watch Daniel Jones every week and, you know, you got guys like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the Falcons are going to make a decision sooner rather than later. I think they like Ridder because he can extend the pocket, but man, he just doesn't hit anybody. Like, Kyle Pitts is non-existent on this team. I feel like Taylor Heinicke can make Kyle Pitts better, can make Drake London better. And Drake London's been really good this year. And I think they'll focus more on running the football with Taylor Heinicke in there. So, yeah, I think that, look, when you bring Taylor Heinicke in and you have quarterback controversies already, the controversy is just going to get even bigger just because Taylor Heinicke can at least play in this league. You know, I don't know if he's a long-term starting quarterback, but you do know at the very worst, he's a really good backup. So you got him in there. And, again, they're still in the NFC South race. And then with Arizona, I think eventually Kyler Murray's going to start. I think Clayton Tune, they just want to kind of give him a look for a week or two before they put Murray in there. Because, again, one of the Cardinals has to lose from this season. I'm actually surprised they benched Joshua Dobbs. But, hey, you know what? Clayton Tune had a good preseason. Why not give him a shot or two before Murray's actually ready to go?
Jeff, one thing we learned, of course, the Lions head to their bye, 6-2. Jahmyr Gibbs with the breakout for the rookie. The Raiders were the story, though, last night. I mean, the number was 7, so the expectations the Lions would win. But Devontae Adams, McDaniel's completely overmatched as a head coach in the NFL. The Raiders are a mess right now.
You know, I was, when you said the number was 7, I'm like, oh, you mean for the targets Devontae Adams had last night or the yards he had at 7? So, yeah. But, yeah, all kidding aside, man, I always say I'm not a betting man, but I play super contests every week. I have to pick 5 games. I always say, you know what, just whatever the spread is against the Raiders, I know their defense is good. Just pick against Josh McDaniels, no matter what it is. That guy is the worst coach in the league. I can't believe he got a second. Him and Dennis Allen drive me insane every single week. It's funny because they're both Raiders coaches. So I just don't understand the fascination with Josh. And you know what's crazy? Guys, the Raiders defense is actually getting better every single week. You know, Marcus Peters is a pick 6 last night. I mean, this is a solid defense. And somehow Josh McDaniels made that offense worse by getting rid of Derek Carr, getting Jimmy Garoppolo, who looks like he's done, or, you know, I don't know what his problem is. But also, Devontae Adams is not existent. Josh Jacobs can't run the football anymore. Only an offensive mind can make an offense worse. I'm telling you guys, and I say this every single week for anybody who wants to listen, never hire a Belichick disciple. And Bill Belichick has not been as successful without Tom Brady. Bill Belichick, the GM, is terrible. And I don't know what he does for his coaches, but somehow they're all bad. I don't understand it. It's like he doesn't prepare them to be a head coach in the league.
You have no idea how much I'm smiling on your comments right now. By the way, I want to ask you, you're in South Jersey there. Philly's 7-1, but for some reason, it seems like they're not quite as good as they were last year. Accurate, inaccurate, or just a little bit of, because they're playing so well, they're going to get nitpicked?
Oh, they're definitely getting nitpicked. I mean, you know what? They're a very clutch football team, I'll say that. Yeah, they're not blowing anybody out like they were last year. I mean, and again, they still have the stars in place, like Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown. Their running game is as good as it was last year. Their offensive line is still really good. Their defensive line is still really good. But again, when you lose talent like T.J. Edwards, Javon Hargrave, guys like that, I mean, Darius Slay and James Bradbury are a year older. You lost Marcus Epps. Marcus Epps was a good start in safety for them, and now he's in the Vegas. So, I mean, you guys see how solid of a player Marcus Epps is. You miss a guy like that. So they're replacing him. That, you know, they still got young talent on that team. Look, they're not as good as they were last year, but they still have the best record in the NFL. And outside of the loss to the Jets, they'd probably be 8-0 for the second straight year. I mean, Jalen Hurts is turning the football over more, but again, they replaced both their coordinators. Sean Desai is doing a really good job there. Brian Johnson, the other offensive coordinator with the same last name. I mean, he's been getting criticized a lot, but their offense is still top five in the league. And again, I think they're starting to prove every single week. Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback. Jalen Hurts is one of the best quarterbacks in the pocket. It's still a really good football team, but man, are they going to get tested starting this week with Dallas? And you got Kansas City, you got San Francisco, you got Buffalo coming up. It's a rough stretch.
Some good old-fashioned South Jersey honesty from Jeff Kerr, CBS Sports 97.3. Jeff Kerr, CBS on Twitter. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you soon. We're coming back with college football.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSiN Pro. You get unlimited access to the picks, top VSiN expert leaderboard, of course, ROI, unlimited access to the betting splits. Everything we do through May 1st for $120 right now, including the picks, which we send you every single day. VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy Halloween as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. It's a very busy show. It's a busy time of the year. Halloween 2023, as we are now just about 15 and a half minutes past the NFL trade deadline. A lot of trades went down. We'll keep you updated throughout the day. If we have a couple more kind of sprinkled in, we'll get to them. A lot of college football to get to, with the College Football Committee releasing their first of five playoff rankings, which we'll do here. We've got our own top six with the three of us. I'm Al Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher, of course. Dustin Sweetelson. We have guests on guests. Tim Jenkins, our quarterback guru, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Brandon Marcello, 24/7 Sports National College Football Reporter, does a great job. And John Bowman, who's been on the show a plenty, to talk Game 4 World Series with the Rangers leading 2-1. I will say this, as the big guy came to work dressed as Pinky Winky, a Teletubby, while we were talking to Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports, I noticed you took off your lid. That is just completely unacceptable. First off, it's traumatizing when you see somebody dressed up without the head on. So that freaked me out. And secondly, if you're going to do the shtick, you got to do the shtick. You can't be taking breaks, big guy.
It looked like I was just wearing a Snuggie to work is what it looked like. Here's the thing. It's getting really hot. It's getting really hot, but I'm going to see it through. I wasn't on camera during the interview segment. I'm banned from interviews. John Galea says I'm not allowed to speak to guests. So it was a moment just to relieve some of the heat coming off my head.
The only thing he's missing is that spinning sign on the corner of an intersection that says apartment application this way.
Yeah. We're going to get a car wash with the big guy. It's a rough look, if we're being honest. But good job in the spirit of the season, nonetheless. Okay, so we talked about this. I'm excited for y'all to hear this, because if you haven't heard it, it's actually kind of awesome.
And we don't have the call. I edited out the caller's question because it was the longest, meanest question ever, just for the record.
But the caller's question is very, it's apropos, it needs to be discussed. Okay, so we talked about it. In case you don't know, specifically in the Southeast and down South, where in, you know, Midwest as well, and honestly, here in Los Angeles, wherever you have a college coach, a big time, you know, college basketball coach or college football coach, it's a big deal in small towns like Clemson, South Carolina. And so Dabo, all his years, what they do is they get little, you know, they'll have a deal with the dealerships because they get a free car for their family. They'll get a deal with the local radio station so they can talk to their fans, but also they get paid. And Dabo does a show in Clemson. Now, Clemson is struggling this year. Obviously, it's been a down year for Dabo, but Dabo's had myriad success. He's got two championships. It started off just unceremoniously there at Clemson. He wasn't even supposed to be the guy, and he's turned into a legend, to be fair. And he was doing his little show, and I believe the caller's name was Stewart. Stewart called in, and Stewart just let rip. You know, very passionate Clemson fan, and said, I'm a military veteran. This was a 3-minute point that Stewart wanted to make. And you make all this money. It's not justified. He went off on Dabo. And what you liked about it, Amal, is Dabo let him talk for 3 straight minutes of absolutely just annihilating him. It was a fascinating call. And Dabo kind of took it in stride, let the dude talk, let him punch himself out. And then here's what Dabo had to say.
We won 11 games last year, and you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that do that. All you do is the appreciation. The expectation is greater than the appreciation. Mm. And that's the problem. And so, you know, we've won 12, 10 plus win year, seasons in a row. That's happened 3 times in 150 years. So if you want to know why, Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won 2 in 7 years. And there's only 2 other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama. Okay? Is this a bad year? Is this a, yeah. And it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want. And you can apply for the job. And good luck to you.
So Dabo brought receipts, Amal. It's tremendous. It's just tremendous.
I love it because I don't think enough times coaches fire back at these people. Everybody, I mean, I'm guilty of it. We all Monday morning quarterback. It's not as easy of a job as it appears to be sometimes on TV. Now, there are some decisions like Arthur Smith not choosing to go with Taylor Heinicke is one I think we can all agree with. But Dabo's right, and I'm glad he called out this person who called into the show. But I want to point out and provide a little context about Dabo's success. 2016, 2018, he wins a national title. From 2012 to 2021, he had a defensive coordinator that came in from Norman, Oklahoma, because he went with the Nepo brother and went with Mike Stoops, and I'm referring to Bob Stoops. So Venable said, okay, I'm out. He goes to Clemson. In that 10-year run, Patrick, Dabo Swinney was 121-17 when Venables was the defensive coordinator. In the years that Dabo has coached previous to Venable's arrival and post-Venable's arrival, he's 44-26. That's a big drop-off. Now you're in about a 63% win percentage compared to where you were previously with Brent Venables. His career record is 165-44 overall, which is a fantastic record. But the fact that he went from being a guy that never lost all of a sudden to having a different dynamic, now sitting at 500 at 4-4, I mean, things have really changed for this Tigers team. And you said it best during the commercial before we got to this. You said they got to get into the transfer portal. He has not done that. And if they don't do it, Patrick, they're going to go back to the days of what Clemson was with Tommy Bowden.
You know how you all had a friend when cell phones started to become hot in the streets, and whether it was your parents or a good friend of yours, we all had that one person in our lives that's like, I'm never going to have a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
And now they have a cell phone and they're more obsessed with the cell phone than anybody in your life because they wanted to be a contrarian. They wanted to be different and they held out to get a cell phone, and now you can't pry the cell phone out of their hands. Well, Coach K said, I'm never going to go one and done. Coach K saw people winning championships, and then he adopted one and done better than anybody. Dabo Swinney said, I'm never going to the transfer portal, not doing NIL. He's paying players, and watch when he starts going to the transfer portal, he'll start winning games again, Amal. That's really what it comes down to. He's just not doing it. He's a slow adapter.
You're absolutely right, and I'll tell you one thing that they could use is, how about a transfer at quarterback? The last two guys, DJ Uiagalelei, bust, right? There were three kids in Southern California. Two of them went 1 and 2 in the draft. He took the guy that ended up transferring to Oregon State. And I'm talking about Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. All three of these guys from SoCal didn't pan out with DJ Uiagalelei. So they said, well, you know what? We're going to change states. We're going to go to Texas. And we're going to go to Austin, Texas, that's produced a ton of great quarterbacks. And we're going to go get Cade Klubnik. Well, you know what? He's not the answer either. And this team needs to start looking elsewhere, because, Patrick, the one thing I think in college football that gets overlooked, Clemson won a title in 2016 and 2018. For us, that's recent. But when you start talking to recruits, kids basically from sixth grade going forward, from a memory standpoint, Clemson's getting to that end of that window where people may not remember them winning national titles. And they better I think they better start turning the ship around pretty quickly, because Florida State is coming and they're not slowing down.
Yep, I totally agree. And Dabo, he wasn't done. He was still bitter. Stewart pissed him off. Whoever Stewart is in Clemson, South Carolina, props to Stewart, because he got under the coat. You can have as many national championships as you want, but there's some donk named Stewart living over here in Clemson, and he gets under your skin. And Dabo continued.
All right, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins. All right, if you'd want to know why, again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. There's a lot of teams that, you know, Frank Howard never had a bad year. Coach Ford never had a bad year. Coach K has never had a bad year in basketball. People have a bad year. But the part of the problem is the appreciation. I used to tell people all the time, they'd say, what's the difference in Clemson? I'm going to tell you, at some places there's an expectation, but at Clemson there's an appreciation. And what's happened at Clemson is we've won so much that even when it used to be the fun's in the winning, now even when you win, people like you complain and criticize the coaches and question everything. People like you.
He's so bitter. He sounds like a husband that mowed the lawn, sat down to watch a game, and his wife didn't appreciate it. And he's like, what do you want me to do? I just mowed the lawn. I'm just trying to watch a game. Well, he's telling Stewart, look at all these receipts. Look at the success. And you don't appreciate it? You got an appreciation problem, pal.
Listen.
Expectations exceed appreciation.
He's not wrong, Patrick. I've never been to Clemson. I don't know what the town is like. You know, you went to school in South Carolina, but I don't think that you're knocking Trevor Lawrence's out of the trees over there. You got to go to places like Georgia to get him.
Yeah, you know what helps keep Stewart off your back? Deshaun Watson. Not this current version of Deshaun Watson, but let me massage it a little bit. I'll come back with a better answer.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Betting splits, money and bets for every game. Updated every 5 minutes, straight from DraftKings. Today's games and future events as well. Make sure you check out the betting splits. Make them a part of your betting arsenal over at VSIN.com. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, happy Halloween. I'm Patrick Maher. Our buddy Tim Jenkins, quarterback guru, trainer, film analyst, all things QB on YouTube. Make sure you check out the channel. He does a great job. Of course, at T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. We love talking to Tim. I'm just curious. I think you have children. So what's the plan for Halloween in Colorado there with the Jenkins clan today?
Yeah, I mean, thinking that's a good call. We got 4, 6 and under. So my wife and I are cranking them out at the factory over here. She obviously can't keep her paws off me, so tonight will be no different. She'll be the naughty nurse. No, I'm kidding. We listen, we're going to be Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So I am Green Goblin, which means my wife got me like a little green ball I can rock some kids with as we're walking down the street. And the kids are all the Spider-Man characters, and she is Doc Ock. So a couple of villains, a lot of then 4 little superheroes running around. It'll be good. It'll be good. You know, it's when you've got young kids, it's funny because I think we're starting today at like 4:30. So I, you know, I'll be in bed by 7, which is, I guess, exciting. Completely different than some of the guys that are probably walking around the studio gambling are going to have. They're going to have a little different night.
Well, first off, four kids, 6 and under. Tim, I don't know if there's a Rite Aid or a CVS near you, but you may want to stop in, just as an aside. And secondly, Jesus, is it like, do you take a roadie with you? Do you have like a cocktail? Is it overwhelming? Like, what's the process like?
You know, it's easy money. Yeah, you got your Yeti full. You push the stroller. You smile at every other dad who'd rather be golfing, and you get through it, right? I think you, yeah, you just smile, you wave. We're all in this together. When you see other dads with kids, you know, they got their face painted too. My wife's going to paint my face green. You smile, you get through it. It's for them. You still have the flashbacks of, you know, mom dressing up as a bumblebee. Like you had your time, and now it's about them. So
it's so funny. That's great. Tim Jenkins, quarterback guru here, Sharp Money. So I'm sure you heard Minnesota, and it's a bummer for Cousins. Dustin had a big ticket on him for MVP. Cousins was playing great there for the Vikings, but the ACL, maybe you could talk a little bit about Cousins and how he was performing with no run game, and they went and grabbed Josh Dobbs. It weird, right? Like 4-4 team, Joshua Dobbs. I don't know what the plan is here for the Vikings.
Yeah, one, it's definitely a bummer for Kurt, because I think everybody, you know, he's one of those guys that I do not think gets the right amount of love. I think he goes out there, he is a really great teammate, he plays his tail off, and then, you know, yeah, you guys nailed it. He was making a heck of a run this year without a run game. So it's a real bummer for him. I think, I don't know how much the Dobbs thing, you know, I'm with you. I don't know how much it makes sense. What I do know is, Dobbs to me is one of those guys, and he's not performing at Geno's level last year, but I do think he's one of those guys that has taken the second chance and kind of Tannehilled it a little bit, right? He's playing good to above average football on a team that I think is doing its best to not play well, right, in Arizona. And he all of a sudden has them, you know, more respectable than I think we all thought they would be at the beginning of the season. And it's kind of weird, I guess, on the Vikings part, because I'm not sure how you're going to get it done without Kirk. I think it's going to be interesting to see what Dobbs can do and how he can kind of pull it together up there. I also thought it was funny because they were like, oh, we're not in the quarterback market, and then all of a sudden they traded for him, right? So I just think it's like, it goes to show what you can learn from NFL press conferences.
Tim, two-part question. First of all, what's your overall assessment on Brock Purdy? And then it's just a little bit of a valley in so far what's been a career that's been peaking as soon as he started for the 49ers. And any long-term concerns for you based on the last 3 weeks?
You know, we talked about him at the beginning of the season, right? We came on here and we kind of talked, and it was one of those where we were saying, man, he makes all the good throws, but it was – he had a miss here or a miss there. And I jokingly said it was Jimmy G-ish in the Super Bowl, right? Like it was that similar miss. Then all of a sudden you're starting to see it. It kind of started in Cleveland, right? Not that was what did it, but it was like, it was a bad weather game. He kind of struggles, gets him an opportunity to win late. They missed the field goal. And then it's kind of snowballed from there. I don't want to say it's long-term concerns, because I don't think that he's playing. I think if you were to really look at him graded out on film, right, it's not like a dramatic drop off in his decision making. What I do think we're seeing is a little bit of reality of quarterbacks when some of their weapons are in and out of the lineup, right? Like when certain guys get knocked out of the, you know, certain games for injury, that of course hurts every quarterback. It really hurts guys like Brock that are efficient from the pocket and make a great decision. Because being efficient in the pocket and making a great decision and getting a check down to Christian McCaffrey or Debo is completely different than not those guys, right? Those guys can take a check down 35 yards, whereas most guys take it for 4. So to me, I think maybe that's a little bit more of what we're seeing, is how the San Fran offense is so dynamic, but it is playmaker dependent, which every NFL team is, right? It's not like there's a team who's like, oh, we got, you know, 5 Fs that can go out there and take the roof off the defense. Like, we don't. We don't even have 10 of those in the league, so we definitely don't have a bunch on one team. So I think that's probably what we're seeing. I don't think it's cause for long-term concern. I do think the reality for Niners fans is for them to make a run, like every team, they have to stay healthy. And you can see how Brock might not be that guy who can overcome lack of talent around him. But I just, there's not that many quarterbacks on planet Earth who can do that.
Tim, when you watch Zach Wilson, obviously he has arm talent. He was overdrafted, but he's just not very good. Is it, you played the position, you trained the position. Is it a feel for Wilson that he's missing? Like, what is it about Zach Wilson when you watch him objectively that's just not there?
I think it's lack of willingness to play within the system, if I'm being honest. I think there's a lot of free reading stuff. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. And I don't know if that's really him being objectively like, I don't want to play within the system, or if it's him just being like, man, I don't know where I need to go with the football against this coverage. I think for him, I think quarterbacks, man, it's walking a fine line between when to play them and when not to play them. And then what guys are built to not get fried by a bad experience, right? There's not that many guys on planet Earth, I think, who can get put into a high pressure, high exposure job, fail, and stay at it when your organization is kind of more or less likes you but doesn't like you. I just don't think there's that many guys walking around on planet Earth, because I even think back about Peyton, right? Peyton goes to Indianapolis, sets the record for interceptions. Then, but they're all in on him the whole time. To me, that's a different framework than going in as a rookie struggling, and then they're kind of like, okay, hey, where are we going to go next? Is this our guy? So to me, I think he just obviously wasn't built for that moment. And then I think we're just seeing like the remnants of that. And it's exactly what we expect it to be, right? They're trying to hang on for dear life until all of a sudden Rodgers can make what I guess is just the fastest Achilles recovery ever.
Tim, how many times in your career when the game was on the line on fourth down and 10 did you decide to take the sack?
You know, what's funny is not that many, and I had a lot of those moments at Fort Lewis College, man. We went 8-31. They didn't draft me because I was a winner. That wasn't what the Rams were thinking when I was coming out. So we had a lot of those moments. I was damn good at throwing it up. Now, I don't know if that always ended up better because I threw a ton of interceptions, but that was probably just because I was playing with like one eye back there. If you thought Jameis had bad vision problems, wait till you see some old Fort Lewis College tape of Tim Jenkins. That's the vision issues and trying to fit some stuff in there that you shouldn't.
Well, we know you have good aim on your personal life. Tim Jenkins. Good. Sorry. It was way too easy. I apologize. Anyway, good luck with the kids in Halloween. All things QB on YouTube. T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. He's the best. Mr. Jenkins.
Patrick, I know what we're getting him for Christmas.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you, Tim. Enjoy Halloween with the kids.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Thank you.
Right, thank you. Wait, now the crazy part about that was Dustin put his head in his hands. You know how many years we've worked together? I'm the one that I can't believe you went there. What is that? What are you doing over there?
No, it was a sense of pride. I'm not used to hearing that come out of someone else's mouth.
I knew it. You're proud of me.
It was probably the best moment of your entire career. I'm going to submit it for a Marconi.
Yes. Yeah, that was for you, big guy. I felt that one coming, and I'm like, Dustin's going to be proud. Anyway, Jenkins is great. That kid's got a great personality. What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. Hey, when we come back, let's do our top six. The college football playoff rankings. The committee's going to release their first rankings today. We've got our own six. We're going to go through those next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly at DraftKings when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. New customers, download the app, And again, $5 gets you 200. No sweat, same game parlay every day for all bettors over at DraftKings. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Trade deadline, 45 minutes ago. Are we missing anything, fellas, as we welcome you back? And a happy Halloween, of course. This is Sharp Money. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, aptly dressed on this Halloween 2023. I don't know. Again, we had the two edges from the Commanders, Chase Young and Montez Sweat on the move, San Francisco and Chicago, respectively. You had Joshua Dobbs on the move from the desert to Minnesota. Of course, the ACL, Donovan Peoples-Jones to the Lions. Other than that, big guy, anything we're missing here?
No, those were the big ones. Those were the only action today. Rasul Douglas to the Bills from the Packers. And then Jalen Johnson was a guy who was expected to get traded from Chicago, ended up staying home. It looks like a bunch of different teams are making offers for him.
Here's what I will say, Amal.
Yeah.
From last night, and we'll get to our college football rankings here, but from last night, you know, obviously what we took away from it, and he's to me, just watching him, he's an all-time great, Davante Adams. And he's in a weird spot because the Raiders come out and have adamantly said, we're not trading him. And it's interesting because the Raiders are in kind of an interesting conundrum. Like, nationally, everybody got to see Max Crosby, who's a difference maker. We saw that last night. And, plenty of time to go there. They have some skill, but it's a disaster right now. I mean, they're poorly coached, obviously, with McDaniels. They're 3-5. And Davante Adams, like, if he all of a sudden is available, I would imagine you could accrue a lot of equity back for the player. It's just interesting to see that they immediately, like, you don't even offer. You don't even listen to offers. They were just like, they shut everything down and said he's absolutely untouchable.
You hit up on a couple of things that I really like. First of all, you mentioned Max Crosby. This is a guy that's just relentless. Love his motor, the way he plays. And it reminded me watching that game when I thought of Adams and I thought of Max Crosby. It reminded me a little bit of some of the players we saw in Detroit in the 90s and in the 2000s. Barry Sanders, Herman Moore, Calvin Johnson, great elite all-time type of players, but they were just mixed in with just an absolutely horrific football team. And that's what I think of when I see Crosby and I see Davante Adams. Now, Crosby may not be in that level, but, you know, Herman Moore, a comparable type of player, one of the top three, four sure. players at his position, and to what Max Crosby is. And their careers are being wasted to a certain extent. I thought you brought up a great example of what they should do. You move on from these guys and you acquire draft picks. That's the only way you can rebuild this thing. Unless you get fortunate enough to get a quarterback who turns into a superstar, you need to have some other pieces around you. And I look at this team, and when you look at the individual parts, they're not that good. They're not that strong. A lot of deficiencies. They ended up getting rid of Darren Waller. Hunter Renfrow was non-existent last night. Josh Jacobs is a tremendous running back, but the position has become devalued. Garoppolo, look, he's solid. He's tough. But he's not an accurate passer when the chips are down. He can make throws most of the time, but when it really matters, it just doesn't seem like he can deliver. And I think this team is really headed in the wrong direction.
Totally agree with you. I think they got to move on from Max Crosby. Well, they should have moved on from Max Crosby, who's a total difference maker.
Yeah.
And Davante Adams, with those two trades, you can rebuild the team quickly. Not saying you don't want the players.
Yeah.
In person, Max Crosby is one of the more impressive specimens I've ever seen. This his quick twitch and how fast he is. He is incredible. And Davante Adams, again, he's tremendous as well. So I would have, if I was the Raiders, you got to have a little bit more of a stewardship there. I think I would have moved on. Big picture, you're not looking at a winning season this year. I don't know. It seems odd to me. That's all I'll say. Okay. Let's do it, boys. Now, when you put together, we're going to have the college football playoff committee. What time do they drop their first official rankings?
I believe 8 Eastern tonight, or it might be.
The show starts at 7.
It is. Okay.
Means that they won't get to it till probably 8 Eastern.
So what they do is they have five sets on each Tuesday. So starting today and then every Tuesday moving forward, they have five. They update their college football rankings. It's actually quite brilliant because it gets people talking. And also it's debatable. What does the college football playoff committee value? You know, how much value do they put into the different tenants? as far as what they value, you know, conference schedule, all the different elements that go into coming up with their rankings. It's brilliant because it gets people talking, and then they'll have the selection committee, they'll have the show, the sixth one, to kind of round out the rankings and get the college football playoff going. When you two put together your list today, did you put together your list as far as your top six, or did you put together the list that you thought the committee would come out with?
That was the exact question I asked Dustin when we were putting this list together. And he said, no, make your own list. So my list is what I believe should be the top six teams. But what I have when we get into our list, Patrick, I don't believe they'll have in that order.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what I did. There's no way my list is going to be the College Football Playoff Committee's list, because they'll have an amalgamation of the AP Top 25 mixed in with public sentiment, mixed in with what they think, right?
Yeah.
I just put together, I said, here are the top six teams. So, big guy, you tell us. How do you want to roll it out?
Let's save Amal for second. Patrick, you go first. I will go last.
Okay. So these are, to me, in order, the best six teams in the country. I put Washington one, just based on the fact that they beat Oregon. I think Oregon and Washington are a wash. I have Oregon two. These are my top six college football playoff rankings. Only ones that matter. I've got Georgia three. I've got the most balanced team right now, but I haven't played anybody. Michigan four. I've got the best resume, most likely. Ohio State five. And I've got Florida State six. So I think the big ones there would be, I've got Washington and Oregon. I've got those two, the best teams in the country right now. I just think there's so much fun, so much offense. Let's open it up and have some fun on a neutral. I think they beat anybody.
Okay, that's fair enough. I like the way you broke that down, the way you assessed it. I did the same thing. I went with what I thought were the six best teams based on a neutral site, except I've got one flipped. I've got Georgia number one. Carson Beck has really come on. I think that's the difference for this team. Michigan, you mentioned it perfectly. They have been flawless. You can criticize the schedule, but there's no criticizing the play we've seen every week on the field. Ohio State, I put number three simply because they have a win against Penn State and a win against Notre Dame. And let's be real here for a second. Those in name have greater value than the actual performance on the field. And then I've got Washington number four. I would argue maybe the best win of the college football season. I know Steve Sarkisian wants to argue the win at Alabama. This is not Alabama 2011. And so give Washington a ton of credit for the win. Florida State with a good win against LSU. But they struggled in some other games along the way, so I have number five. And then number six, Oregon. I wanted to put, Patrick, Oregon ahead of Washington. Dustin's like, you can't do that. They lost the head-to-head. I said, that's fine. But when we get the rematch here, I will be on the Ducks.
Yeah, I went very hard on the Pac-12. I like your amalgamation. I like the makeup of your list. Got Ohio State behind Michigan, so you know he's being objective there. Yeah, can't argue with the list. All right, big guy, let's hear yours.
Well, number one, I have a program I despise, and it's not just because of Amal. I've hated this program most of my life. My best friend's a fan of them, and they cheated to win the Fiesta Bowl over my Miami Hurricanes in 2001, bribing a ref to throw a late flag. So
the great Terry Porter.
I have Ohio State number one. They have two top 10 wins. One of them's on the road at Notre Dame against God. No one has a better win than that on their resume. Number two, Florida State. Again, I can only judge these teams based on this year and what they've accomplished. Florida State beat number five LSU. They went to Death Valley and beat Clemson, and then they beat number 16 Duke. I don't care if Riley Leonard was hurt and had to leave the game. They were ranked entering the game. That's a massive win. They are the best team in their league. They're going to go to the playoff. Number three, I have Washington. They have the single most impressive win of the entire season of any team in college football, taking down Oregon. They've cruised outside of Arizona State a couple weeks ago. Let their situation work itself out with the Pac-12. If they lose to Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, if they're even there, we'll figure it out then. And then number four, I have Georgia. The thing about Georgia is I think Georgia's getting better, and I think Georgia's going to be playing their best football when it matters at the end. But as of right now, they're number four. Got off to a lot of slow starts. They're still top four. Carson Beck's looking like he potentially could end up being a Heisman finalist. But their best win is Florida, who lost to Utah, who lost to Oregon, who Washington beat. So Washington has to be above Georgia. And then Michigan, bad schedule. It'll work itself out when they play Ohio State, but they're also cheating. And then Oregon, they could find their way back into this thing.
So let me ask you a question. On a neutral, how would you go 1 through 6 on the best teams in the country?
On a neutral?
Yeah, like Do you believe that's what the rankings should be? Or do you think Ohio State beats Washington on a neutral?
I can only judge them based on what they've done. I cannot project that. What I do know is
I just went with who I think the best teams are.
I set up a great TV matchup where you'll have Ohio State, Georgia rematch to go to the title game versus winner of Florida State and Washington, and we could potentially have all corners of the country touched.
To answer Patrick's question, I would go based on a neutral, Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, number three.
I think you could argue a team with one loss is the best team in the country, and that's Oregon. That's why this is an interesting exercise.
They should win more then.
Okay, they're going to do their best. Marcelo, Brandon, coming back talking college football.